And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text this morning will be from our gospel lesson. I want us to hear just the first few verses again. The first speaker is going to be John. And John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that John. John, the one who wrote the Gospel of John. That's the John, right? John, who wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. John the fisherman, John the apostle. That John said these words. Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop. I want us to hear those words. John the apostle, John the beloved, teacher, we told him to stop. Why, John? Because he was not one of us. We told him to stop because he was not one of us. And so this text raises for us the question this morning is, how do we deal with other Christians? Isn't that the topic? Jesus, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, but we told him to stop because he wasn't a member of our synod. Right? That's what he said. He wasn't one of us. In fact, in Greek, it's worse. The English translators soften the blow. In Greek, John literally said, we told him to stop because he doesn't follow us. Follow us. John said he doesn't follow us. Let me ask you, who is the one who says, follow me? Jesus, not John. Jesus has got to be shaking his head again. And he says, don't stop him. For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. Whoever is not against us is for us. What's Jesus saying? The Bible doesn't, by the way, even tell us the man's name. Jesus is saying that the ministry is being done. People are being delivered from satanic persecution. The gospel is being preached, and you substituted this word in, he's not one of us. Here's the real phrase. This is a key phrase. And John even says it. And then Jesus says it. We saw a man driving out demons. Next words, in your name. In the name of Jesus. How is ministry done? In the name of Jesus. In the power of Jesus and to the glory of Jesus. That's what ministry is. In the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus and to the glory of Jesus, God is delivering these people from demonic bondage. And John even says, he's doing it in the name of Jesus. And Jesus himself says, people performing a miracle in my name. Isn't that the key phrase? In the name of Jesus, ministry is done. In the name of Jesus, for lives to be touched. In the name of Jesus, for the gospel to be proclaimed. And instead of saying in the name of Jesus, John says, he's not one of us. Now, are the 12, the apostles, the 12 chosen, are they significant in the ministry plans of God? Well, of course they are. But here's what John has done. He has thought that because the 12 are significant, he's decided that the 12 are the only thing that God is doing. Is that true? No. Don't hinder him. Don't stop him. Because ministry is being done. St. Paul has the same opinion in Philippians chapter 1, verse 18, I think it is. He says, people ask him, Paul, there's people preaching the gospel other than you. And Paul says, some are doing it this way and some are doing it that way. But Paul says this, I just rejoice that Christ is being preached. So that raises the question, how do we relate to other Christians? Are you ready for this? No. We call them our brothers and sisters in Christ. I wanted to try this on for size. What about Baptists? Are they our brothers and sisters in Christ? And Methodists? And Presbyterians? and non-denominationals. Okay, are you ready for the really big step? How about Roman Catholics? Brothers and sisters in Christ, here's the thing. Is Christ preached there? Is God triune? Is man sinful? And has Jesus died on the cross and risen again? And faith preached to the people to trust in Jesus and nothing else? They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, do some of them have a liturgy that looks different than ours? Yeah, they do. Do some of them have music that's different than ours? I love the pipe organ myself. Some people have a praise band. Some pastors robe up. Some pastors wear blue jeans and a golf shirt. It's not my cup of tea when the guy's t-shirt is untucked. But is the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached? That's the question, right? Is ministry being done in the name of Jesus? Now, I want to be very careful here. We're not talking about universalism. We're not saying that every faith is valid. We're not saying that every religion is valid. The test is it being done in the name of Jesus? Jesus the Christ. Christianity, that's where the work is being done. This man has a valid ministry. Here's two proofs. One, he's been working in the name of Jesus. And two, he's actually able to cast out demons. Most of us never do that. Different churches, they look different. They do it a little differently. We should know this. Every church has its distinctives, and every church has strengths and weaknesses, including ours. Sure. Here's what I don't want us to say. Sometimes Christians discover, well, there's other Christians, and so we look across the aisle at our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we say, I'm sure that some of the Methodists are saved, but just barely. That's not the way my Bible reads. This man, in the name of Jesus, able to cast out demons. I want to mention two funny narratives that kind of connect to this elsewhere in the Bible. In Mark chapter 9, we've been reading Mark chapter 9. Earlier in this very same chapter, there's the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain, and when they come down, this is a funny thing, the 12, I want to catch this, that the 12 are not able to cast out a demon. Check that out earlier in Mark 9. This man is casting out demons in the name of Jesus. The 12 themselves, who have put themselves above where they ought to, the 12 cannot cast out a demon. And part of me says that what's raised its head here is a little old-fashioned jealousy. We can't do it, but that man did. Jesus, we should stop him. Does jealousy ever emerge? Sure. I'm a pastor. It strikes all of us. We look at somebody else's thriving ministry. We drive by a huge church, and the first thing we say is, wow, that's a really big church. Don't be jealous. Do not hinder them. The work of ministry is being done. There's this other funny story in Acts chapter 19. So this is post-resurrection. There's some disciples trying to cast out demons. They literally use the phrase, in the name of Jesus, but it doesn't work. The demon says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but I don't know you. A funny text, read it, Acts 19. And the demon beats them up. That lets us know that in the name of Jesus means actually in the name and power of Jesus, not just as a catchphrase, right? Spirituality is not a game. But this is the beautiful part of this text, that Jesus just has an expansive view of ministry. The gospel of Christ is to go out into the world. And he says, don't hinder the person that looks a little different than you. Whoever is not against us is for us. Two powerful preachers in American history, you should know their names, George Whitefield and John Wesley. They worked at the same time, late 1700s. George Whitefield is a Calvinist. And John Wesley is an Arminian. Everybody know how the Calvinists and the Arminians talk to each other? Pretty bitterly, right? Isn't it great to be a Lutheran and not even be in that discussion? We look at the Calvinists, you're half right. The Arminians, you're half right. That's why we're Lutheran. But I love this. Because of the rivalry, or some people wanted there to be a rivalry, somebody asked George Whitefield, a pretty strong Calvinist, Would John Wesley, would we see John Wesley in heaven? Isn't that the way those divisions go? Will we see John Wesley in heaven? And George Whitefield said, "I fear not, for he will be so near the eternal throne, and we at such a distance, we shall hardly get sight of him." That's a wonderful way to speak about another believer. And here's the funny thing. John Wesley, who's an Arminian and preaches a method of conversion a lot of Lutherans would bicker with, did you know that John Wesley had a cold, dead faith life for most of his life? And he went to a prayer meeting and had he had a heartwarming experience. John Wesley, the evangelistic preacher, his heartwarming experience came because somebody was reading Martin Luther. Isn't that delightful? That Wesley had his faith inflamed by hearing the words of Luther on the book of Romans. The ministry is to be done. That's what Jesus says. Now, did you notice that when you read the gospel, he says that we can pick up that message, and then it seems like it changes, like all of a sudden the text is like, how come it changed pace? I've never noticed this before, but I want us to notice. I don't think the topic does change. Jesus is saying the number one thing is for the gospel to get out, to lives to be changed with the good news of Jesus. And the next thing he starts to talk about is don't make one of these little ones fall. And it seems like he just shifted gear. Here's what he's saying, I think. The important thing is for the gospel to get out, and it is harmful for people to hear Christians attacking other Christians. Does that make sense? Don't make these little ones fall. Don't cause offense in the church by spending all of our times as Christians bickering with Christians. And then he says this, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, what's it good for? And then he says this, have salt among yourselves. You guys know this. Salt is a preservative in the ancient world, but salt is also about flavor. Salt not only makes more flavor, but salt enhances the flavor of whatever is there. So Jesus is saying, be a salty Christian. And he says the same thing over in Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth. And then what's the second one? You are the light of the world. So here's how this ties again. Jesus, the whole thing, don't stop the man, get the gospel out there, do gospel ministry. Then when he says you're the salt, what he's saying is salt and light, that's the witness of the church in the world. What's important? That the witness of the church and the world would go forth. Don't bicker with each other. Be salt and light in this world. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The mission of Jesus is to seek and to save what was lost. Right? The mission of Jesus is to preach and teach and heal. That's what he's always doing. Mission of Jesus, preach and teach and heal. What's the mission of the church? Preach and teach and heal. I've talked to several people in recent days, some of you, and I think we all say this. I want to conclude with this thought. Our nation desperately needs to return to the Lord. Is that not so? We need to return to God. And Malachi 3:7 has this charming little promise, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. If the nation is to return to the Lord, what's our role? Salt and light ministry. And what's our relation to believers in other denominations? To call them my brother, right? So let's ask this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our nation turned back to the God of the Bible and St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church was full of people? Wouldn't that be nice? They're doing gospel ministry in the town of Irmo. Wouldn't it be delightful if our nation turned back to Christ of the Bible and that Union United Methodist Church was full of people? Would it be delightful to us if Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church was full of people? Yeah. Here's my thing. I just pray that we would be in on that ride, wouldn't you? Wouldn't it be delightful if our nation turned back to the God of the Bible, to the one Jesus Christ who gave himself for the sins of the world, and Mount Olive Lutheran Church was full of people? Yeah. Yeah. For the ministry to be done and lives to be changed. In this style and in that style, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.